Okay, hope everybody had a wonderful day. We're continuing on with the teachings of Rabbi Akiva as we move towards the end of the third parak of Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Akiva said, "Hakol tzafoi," and the Rishonim comment, "Afilu b'chadrei chadarim," that God sees everything, even the things that we do in private. God sees everything, but yet the harishus nesuna, but God's capacity to see everything we do doesn't in any way mitigate our free will, our bechira chavshis. It's appropriate that Rabbi Akiva would be the one, you know, meditating on this idea, because Rabbi Akiva was somebody that took responsibility for his own life in a very dramatic way. And he lived a certain way for 40 years, then he was able to make a very dramatic change. You know, this is beyond the point when most people would say, you know, I am who I am, and, you know, this is what I'll be. But Harishus Nisuna, you know, Rabbi Akiva was not a Doresh, and he was not a Mekayim in this regard. Now, the Rambam understands this, as do a number of the Rishonim, not so much in terms of God's capacity to see Bechadrei Chadarim, which of course the Rambam would agree to, but Akol Tzafoi means Tzafoi Merosh, that God knows everything in advance, and yet, Rishus Nisuna, there's still Bechira Chavshis. The Rambam discusses this in Hilchos Tshuva, in the fifth parak, where he talks about Bechira Chavshis, and he raises this as the fundamental question that human beings can never really understand. We can never be yored l'sof da'as hamakom. We can never really understand how it's possible that free will, which the Rambam says is unmitigated, he doesn't believe in any kind of limits on human free will, and it's appropriate for this week's parasha, right? God lets, in the end of the day, Bilam go. Im likro l'cha ba'un ashim kum le'chitam v'aches hadavar asher daber lecho to tasev. Bilam, you want to go? How our free will can coexist with divine foreknowledge. Now, divine foreknowledge, by definition, when Hashem knows something, it doesn't mean He knows it, you know, 90% or 95% or 99%, or God has an instinct. It means He really knows what's going to happen. So how exactly can we have free will? The Rambam says we can't understand this because we can't understand God. Kilo yirani adam v'chai. But the Ravid gets very upset at the Rambam for raising the question. He says, why are you, you know, raising the question if you can't give an answer? And the Ravid tries to say that maybe divine foreknowledge isn't exactly, you know, perfect. Maybe it's sort of like it's dagninim, astrologers who can somehow prognosticate the future. And then the Ravid throws up his hands and he says, ah, I gave a lousy answer, and better that the Rambam shouldn't have raised the question. But it's interesting, the Ralbag, Ben Levi Ben Gershom, Gersonides, so he takes the position that they can't coexist. And he says free will is the most important idea in Judaism, right? Without free will, what's the whole point of life or Torah or spiritual life? And so he says that God doesn't know everything that's going to happen. That's a radical idea. Rabbi Dr. Michael Schmidman, who lives on the other side of Teaneck, is the dean of the Graduate School for Judaic Studies at Tiro, many years ago wrote an article called Radical Theology in Defense of the Faith, all about the Ralbag's idea that God doesn't know the particulars of what happens in this world. Because if God knew the particulars, that would strip us of our Bechira Chavshis. There's a range of views, but the Rambam's view, halachically speaking, is the controlling view that maybe we don't understand it, but Hakol Tzafoi, God sees everything in advance, V'arishos Nesuno, V'tova Olam Nidon, and God just judges the world favorably, meaning God represents Din, but more than that, there's the element of Rachamim, V'akol Afi Rov Hamasa, but the extent to which God will be compassionate on a particular person and not hold them to the letter of the law depends on what their, let's say, track record is. Hakol afi rov ha'masa. So I was talking about this Mishnah with my daughter this morning. She's trying to explain that, you know, there's sort of like a natural way that people in positions of authority, people have to make decisions, you know, are going to deal with somebody who doesn't meet the standard on a particular occasion. So if they don't meet the standard on a particular occasion and it's the 17th time that they're not meeting the standard, so that's going to elicit a particular reaction. If it's the first time, and the first 16 times they did exactly what they were supposed to do, so they would say, okay, nobody's perfect, right? Ki adam in tzadik baretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yachta lo nisna torah l'malachei asharei. So that's the way most of the Rishonim interpret. Again, the Rambam has an original interpretation on the slide, but this I'll conclude. Hakol afi rov hamasa, the Rambam says, it doesn't say hakol afi godel hamasa. It's not so important to do great things, to hit grand slams. What a person should try to do is hit singles in life. Hakol afi rov hamasa. So the Rambam gives the example that it's much better to give a dollar of tzedakah 1,000 days in a row, excluding Shabbos and Yantif, than it is to give $1,000 on a particular day. To give $1,000 on a particular day, it's a very nice gesture, but if you really want to integrate compassion and consideration into your personality, it's better to do small things on a habitual basis than it is to do large things on an irregular or inconsistent basis. So akol lefi rov hamasa, and that's the Rambam's approach. So that explains why the halacha in general, the Rambam doesn't make this point, but you can extend it very easily. Tadir v'sheno, tadir, tadir kodem. We always begin the day in the Beis HaMikdash with the Karban Tamid Shel Shachar. We finish with the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. Like Judaism has endless, surpassing respect for consistency. Right? And the idea is because we believe that consistency is really more than anything else, you know, what builds character. Sometimes people ask me, well, outside of the faith tradition, you know, ask me, how is it possible to pray with Kavanah three times a day? So I would say, you know, I'm still working on it. But the idea, obviously, of prayer on such a regular basis is that we understand we're not going to hit a home run with every Shmoneh Esrei. You try to hit a single every time, and try your best, right, that it should be, you should, you know, never, you know, go through a tefillah without, you know, having something from it, right? The idea is by doing it regularly, we build up those muscles to the point where we can sort of constantly raise our baseline kavana. That's really the idea of, you know, being koveya itim l'Torah, and everything that we do, we such an emphasis on consistency. Hakol lefi rov hamasa, velo lefi godo hamasa, you know, the great gestures have their place, but ultimately it's consistency which will be defining and dispositive in terms of shaping our character.